everyone, this is Morgan Phelps with Acuity Brands. Thank you for tuning in to the Women in Sustainability and Enterprise podcast, also known as WISE. We created this podcast to elevate the voices and achievements of women within Acuity Brands who are working towards a more sustainable environment and workplace. As Acuity continues their sustainable journey, we want to amplify the stories of the women who helped us get here, because it takes us all. Welcome to our journey.
Welcome to the Women in Sustainability and Enterprise podcast. I'm your co-host, Lauren Scott, alongside Simran Clare. Our guest today is Melissa Peer. As the Vice President of Human Resources, Melissa and her team support the Corporate, Technology, and Intelligence Spaces Group as strategic HR business partners. They deliver value to the business by providing coaching and guidance, driving change management, creating and driving talent strategies, and elevating the associate experience and engagement. Her team supports key initiatives for the company to build trust through sustained performance and predictable outcomes, and helps to align what HR does in support of our company's goals, like driving sustainability and transformation. Melissa has had the opportunity to work both with and for amazing women in her career, and has consequently made supporting women in her career a priority. Navigating as a wife, mom, and a career professional can be challenging, so having a strong network and resources available is critical. Melissa has been in the HR space for over 12 years, with more than half those years right here at Acuity Brands. Her early career was spent in sales and taking some time off to start her family. Melissa earned her bachelor's degree in psychology from the University of Georgia and is a huge dogs fan. Melissa lives in Lawrenceville with her husband and kids, and in her personal time, loves travel, trying new restaurants, cooking, and all things on the water. And now, over to Simran.
Thanks, Lauren. And Melissa, thank you so much for joining us today. To kick off our conversation, could you walk our listeners through your professional journey so far and how you got to where you are today?
Sure. Most of high school, I had planned to study psychology and had actually planned to go into forensic psychology. HR was really never on my radar. After I had graduated college, I had intended to take some time off of school, travel a bit, work, and go back to get my master's. I had just moved out of the state up to the Northeast, and an opportunity came in pharmaceutical sales. It sounded cool at the time. I had an opportunity to travel in the new state that I was living in, work with local OBGYNs and women's products. And I really spent the next few years doing that in sales. I started a family. I took some time off to stay home with my daughter and relocated back to Georgia, where I live today. And to be totally honest, sales was just not my thing. Even years later, I was so nervous before sales calls. I would feel almost sick walking into cold calls and would have to mentally talk myself into it. And at this point, I realized this is not my calling. And I had an opportunity to join a staffing company, which was interesting because while it had an account management and a soft side of sales, there was really a strong HR aspect. And this seemed new and exciting. And this is really what brought me to Acuity. Acuity was one of my biggest and arguably one of my best customers. I spent a lot of time on site, recruiting for the company, getting to know the people, and I absolutely just fell in love. They were expanding their HR team at the time, and I was approached to come and join, and without hesitation, said yes. And so I started as an HR administrator, worked my way through manager level, director, and eventually to the VP level through my career here. And so I've had the opportunity to do many different roles in HR, but this role that I do now today from an HR business partner is really my passion. And Acuity has afforded me the opportunity to grow and develop in my career right here.
With over a decade of experience, you have a deep history in human resources. Sounds like maybe that wasn't your initial path, but what was it that attracted you to HR and what kind of inspires you to stay in this line of work?
Interestingly enough, while I hadn't considered HR during my undergrad, the psychology background really lends itself well to what I do today. I'm not the traditionally trained HR professional, and I have learned a lot of what I do on the job, educating myself, the experiences I have, the mentors and the people that I work alongside of, and then not taking away from the importance of more classically trained HR professionals. It just wasn't my route. But I'm fairly good at reading people and interpreting people. And because of that, I was really interested in the way that Acuity does HR. And that's with a really big business focus. And so for me, when I think about an HR business partner, the HR piece is important, and that's a hat that I wear very proudly. But the business partnering side to me was the really big attraction. And I see HR as a function that helps enable and supports the business to achieve their goals and gives people the opportunity to grow. And people are our biggest asset. And so, you know, the ability to help someone through their professional life cycle was really intriguing. You know, people come to work and they spend a good amount of time here, you know, yes, but they experience so much more than just work, even in their work lives. There's life events that happen, good things, bad things. And to be a person who is there for each event during all of those types of things is personal and special. And so I feel proud to be part of someone's life. And HR gives me the opportunity to do that and be part of the bigger picture for the organization.
Could you tell us a little bit more about what role HR plays in a technology company and how you've seen this function evolve over time?
I think HR plays a critical role, and I would say even more so as the world evolves around us and new and complex situations arrive. And often, HR is the one that we look at to help us navigate through all of these. So when we think of HR, I would say old HR, we would think of personnel. I'm sure most of us have seen the movie Don't Tell Mom, The Babysitter's Dead. And, you know, Rose comes into the office to apply for a job, and this rather rude lady redirects her to personnel. And it makes me laugh every time I see it, because I think HR has evolved a lot and plays such a strategic role with helping companies make decisions through insightful data around our people, helping equip and build the capabilities of our talent as we grow. When we think about these capabilities and we think about this data that we have, it really helps us to better predict where we need to focus and where we need to go. Unfortunately, we can all now say that we've gone through a global pandemic. And, you know, HR was in the center of managing this crisis, you know, not only just from an associate safety and, you know, the well-being and the health aspect of it in the workplace, but anticipating what's next. How do we prepare for what the future looks like? We helped with, you know, putting processes in place so that associates can effectively manage through situations when they arise. A lot has changed with how and where we work, what associates value, the hiring situation we feel today in such a competitive market. These are all core focuses and areas of what my job and role is here for the organization. And then even more important for us to be arm in arm with leadership to help the organization navigate and mitigate risk as we work through and as we evolve as a company.
Well, it certainly sounds like with regards to the macroeconomic environment that your bachelor's degree in psychology from the University of Georgia has definitely come into play. I'm curious as to what you think the power of psychology in your transition into HR means in terms of sustainability.
Sustainability is something that, in my opinion, every forward-thinking company should be at minimum considering as a focus for their long-term growth and success. And when we think about psychology at its core, it's the study of the mind and the behavior. It's understanding how people think, how we behave, and why we care about the things that we care about. And so as we focus on sustainability and how we can positively impact the environment, the economy, you know, social communities, we do that by fostering mental health, by the well-being, and understanding what's important to people and to help properly motivate them. How do you recognize people? How do you reward them? How do you provide the right opportunities that make a difference? That's psychology. We're not all created equal. And understanding that helps us when we're thinking about our goals, how we will obtain those goals and what our approach will be. And it will help us solve problems for our customers as we think about who they are and the things that are important to them. And so I think there's such a strong connection between psychology and sustainability at its very core.
Since you started at Acuity Brands 9 years ago, could you tell us a little bit more about how you've seen our sustainability journey evolve since then?
There have been quite a few evolutions at my time at Acuity, but one of the most important has been our efforts around diversity, equity, and inclusion. We want to be the place where the best people come to do their best work. And to do that, we have to have associates who feel comfortable and valued enough to bring their whole self to work. It's vital for us to surround ourselves with people of different backgrounds, experiences, passions, and different thoughts. And this really is the secret recipe to catapult our success. We have created multiple employee resource groups to date. They will continue to grow, which is really exciting. We have a roadmap. We are keeping ourselves accountable and continuing to listen to our associates to hear what is important to them so we can do this journey together. I think the key point here is making people your primary focus. This has been the reason for so much of our culture change over the years, and its direct correlation to the inclusive environment and the commitments that we're making and the priorities of our leadership. This doesn't happen by accident. It happens with bringing the right people together to spark the change, encouraging people to raise their hands, to be part of the solution. And while there are so many things we could talk about and mention that have been great evolutions over these past 9 years, to me, this is one that I'm really proud of and excited to see Acuity embracing.
Thanks for walking us through this journey. It has definitely been exciting to watch and be part of. Can you tell us a little bit how you see this shift having impacted the way that we look at HR at Acuity Brands?
I think we have to get really honest about what we look like here. Does our leadership, does our associates reflect that of diverse people with diverse backgrounds, mentally and visually? Are we making the right connections to find more women in engineering and IT? Are we partnering with the right HBCUs to bring in fresh new talent? And those are just two examples. But as an HR organization, we're tasked to find the right talent at the right time. And to do that, we have to cast a broad net. And we have to make sure that our associates see and feel the changes that we have. And equally, we have to make sure that candidates and people outside of our organizations can see and know our story as well. So as HRBPs, you know, these are the discussions that we have with leaders and managers when we're recruiting, when we're talking about our talent that we have here, is how do we incorporate our DE&I efforts and strategies into every part of our talent process?
Continuing on the topic of recruiting, the next question has two parts. How have you seen sustainability play a role in recruiting potential candidates? And what does that role look like in retaining current employees?
100%. I would say this is a key topic. And I would say even with the pandemic, even more so. And when you're stuck at home or the only place you can go is really work, you really start to think about what is important to you. It's a prime reason we hear a lot about the great resignation this past year. People have choices about where they work more than ever. Things like commute, work-life balance, money, those are all considerations. But the impact that somebody can make in being part of a values-based organization is a significant rising theme that I continue to hear. Someone will turn down that little bit of extra money. They will drive a little bit further if they feel they're doing really meaningful work and they're making a difference. And I would say this is even greater with our younger generations entering the workforce. They've always had social media. It's cool to be part of a social and environment impact. And so these generations are, you know, nearly demanding focus on sustainability and living those values that we say that we embody. And so if our associates and our potential associates don't see us focusing on that, they don't see our progress and feel that they can be part of the work and making an impact, quite frankly, they're going to go somewhere else. So, you know, I think from our perspective, it is, you know, the right thing to do. But I also think it's something with where we're going as, and from a world perspective, it's something we have to do.
You touched upon diversity at Acuity Brands a little bit earlier. And as we look to bring more diversity within Acuity Brands, as well as the broader industrial technology industry, I'd be curious as to what advice you would have for the next generation entering the workforce or even a younger version of yourself.
As I reflect on this question, the younger me would have said, work really hard, set goals for yourself, keep running till you get there. And the older me has a little bit a different perspective. You know, absolutely, yes, you should give it your all. You should set goals and aspirations, and you should be working toward, you know, something. But honestly, first and foremost, find your passion and be happy. Most of us work to live, and that's an important balance to find. That took me, honestly, many years. It was something that I personally struggled with earlier in my career, especially as I was, you know, starting a family. And I have found that when I'm doing work that I'm passionate about, I run faster, I get further, I'm less apologetic, and I don't worry so much about the title, the dollar amount, the size of the office, or, you know, whatnot. Worrying about doing what makes you happy and what challenges you, I will almost guarantee you those things that you desire will come. And it'll make it so much easier to let things roll off your back when you hit pitfalls, because you 100% will. And, you know, only you can control your attitude and your outlook. And when you learn that, it's a huge relief. And I will say, for me, has been very healthy for me personally and mentally, but also it bleeds into my happiness with my family and as a mom and as a wife and as a friend, to kind of set myself free from some of that stress and anxiety.
Shifting the conversation to learn more about your personal life, how do you incorporate a sustainability mindset into your day-to-day interests and hobbies?
So one of the things my husband and I have been doing the last few years is gardening and expanding our garden in our yard. We love to cook. Well, he's probably more of the cook, if I'm honest, but I love to eat what he cooks. And so we have been growing our own vegetables, and it has been a lot of fun. But it's also been a really good learning and reflecting opportunity. You know, when I first thought about gardening, it was, you know, digging the little hole, putting the seed in, you know, putting the soil back on top. But gardening takes time. It's nurturing, it's daily attention, it's research, it's talking to other people that have the same interest when you have issues. But that first time that you slice up that fresh tomato, or, you know, you're grilling the squash, the satisfaction is so great. And I like this because, to me, it translates into a lot of many other examples of sustainability mindset. It's not one and done. You know, sometimes you get it right, and sometimes you walk outside and the plant is rotting and has bugs all over it. But you learn, you make tweaks, and, you know, next year as you're preparing for your garden, you typically produce better and more fruit. And, you know, so for me, it's what seemed like something just kind of fun and easy has really been more insightful and hits your core a little bit more when you think about it. And that, to me, is probably key.
That's a great outlet for sure in terms of sustainability. Are there any other resources, whether it's with regards to sustainability or the enterprise side of the WISE podcast? We've had recommendations ranging from books to podcasts to publications. Anything that you would recommend to our listeners that they check out to on their respective journeys?
Yeah, absolutely. So there's this great United Nations site with this lazy person's guide to saving the world. I love it. One, because it's clever and I appreciate humor, but mostly it easily breaks down things that you can do at different levels of engagement. And it really meets you where you are. And it breaks down, I think it's 17 different types of sustainable development goals. And it's really digestible. They have overviews, they have links, resources, clips to walk. It's interactive and fun. But it's great because if you're new to sustainability and it's things that you're interested in and learning more and how you get engaged, it has great resources and tips there. But it's also equally as great for someone who maybe is more, you know, involved, engaged, and has been on this journey for a long time. So highly suggest, you know, checking it out, even just Googling the Lazy Person's Guide, and you'll find yourself at the link. And I think it's a great read.
The narrative around social and environmental well-being can sometimes be a little bit overwhelming, especially given everything that's happening today. Do you have any tips on how you stay motivated in your personal and professional endeavors, despite what can sometimes feel like a heavy landscape?
To me, it's one step at a time, and you have to meet yourself where you are, but also realizing that small steps make big impacts, especially when you're surrounded by others taking small steps right next to you. So I try to educate myself and I try to get my family involved. There are a ton of resources online with great ideas and how you can even make this a family thing. Talk to your friends, family, educate your children about what you're doing. I'm certain that if folks see your excitement and they see the little impacts that you're making, they start to ask questions and might even ask about how they can get involved or help, which to me is a great small step that can make big impacts, to your point, of a pretty heavy and large topic.
We do like to end every episode by asking our guests the same final question. What does sustainability mean to you?
So to me, sustainability is honestly paving the way for my kids. It's being part of a solution to make sure that this world is better when I leave it than when I entered it. And I want my kids to have all the opportunities, and it's important that they have respect for our environment, for each and every person that they come in contact with, and to give back themselves and see themselves as part of that journey and solution. So for me, if I can do even just that small part while I am here, then I feel like I have made an impact to something greater than myself.
Thank you so much for your time today, Melissa. It's been a pleasure getting to know more about you and your role at Acuity, and we really cannot wait to see what's next for you on your journey.
Thank you for having me.
Thank you for supporting this month's Women of the Month here on WISE. We're looking forward to sharing more success and stories with you all here at Acuity Brands. Feel free to leave us a review on Apple Podcasts or Spotify Podcasts, and we'll see you all next month.